In this episode, I'll be breaking down the 6 key takeaways I took from hearing Rick Rubin talk about unlocking your creativity. Now, the reason that I want to talk about this today is because recently, towards the end of last year, I found myself in a bit of a creative rut. Actually listening to these episodes and listening to the interviews that Rick Rubin's given recently with the likes of Lewis Howes, Rich Roll, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee on Feel Better, Live More, it helped me see something for myself as to how I was getting in my own way and how I was showing up from a certain place that wasn't allowing me to create as freely as I know I can. So I want to break down the learnings that I got from listening to those episodes, and I want to help you discover for yourself how you can tap into your own innate creativity. So welcome to In The Moment with me, Alex Manzi. I'm a coach, and my journey from depression to fulfillment and inner peace has led me on to work with artists, creatives, athletes, entrepreneurs. And this podcast is here to help you create a positive change in your life and to help you live a happier and fulfilling life for yourself. So let's get into the 6 key learnings that I've taken away from hearing Rick Rubin talk about unlocking your innate creativity. So the first point that I want to pick up on is this idea of the importance of trying new things. And I think this is really important because I know when I've been stuck in a rut, I try and do the same things over and over again and try and create different results. But actually, there's growth when you try things outside of what you're normally doing. And I love in the interviews of Rick Rubin that I listen to, he talks about different examples, but one of the best examples he gave is when he's in the music studio and he's working with a band, he'll be like, okay, cool. Why don't we take the drummer and put him on the keyboard and get him to play something? And why don't we take the guitarist and put him on the drums and the lead singer and put him on the guitar and let's get them to just play and see what comes out. And what he says is that often in those like playful moments, because there's just everyone's trying something new, they get into a really good creative flow and they're like, oh, let's try this. Oh, let's try that. Oh, let's try this. And I've experienced something similar. You can do the same as well. Like if you focus on, okay, what am I doing? And just go and try something completely different. You know, if you're, let's say for example, you're trying to create an art project, right? And you go, right, do you know what? I'm going to put that aside. And I'm going to go over there and I'm going to go and build a website, right? Or something completely different. The creativity starts flowing in a different way because you're starting to operate outside of your known reality and you're starting to operate in the unknown. And that's where a lot of creativeness happens. And there's a brilliant story that Rick tells, and it's a well-known story, in fact, of a Go computer, which is kind of like a chess type game that they play in Asia, playing against a grandmaster. And this grandmaster, you know, he's like the best of the best. And they get to a point in the game which really close is that they're like really tired and people are like, oh, you know, I don't know who's going to make what move next. And the computer basically makes a move that no one was expecting. And the reason is because the computer makes this move because it's not operating from the known reality of how to play the game. It's not operating from the history and the customs and the rules and the, you know, the way it should do and the things that it, you know, the traditions and stuff like that. And it's just operating from a complete clean slate. And it makes this move that no one was expecting, even the grandmaster, and the computer ends up winning the game. Now, does this mean that computers are smarter than humans? Not necessarily. But what it points us at is that the computer won by knowing less. It didn't have so much information going on where it's like, okay, I know this stuff, I know this stuff, I know this stuff. So I need to keep doing it that way. It was operating from a complete clean slate where it could just try something different and it ended up winning the game. And sometimes it's like you can spend more time on something, but just because you spend more time on it doesn't mean it's getting better. I've had this with writing. I've tried writing and writing and writing, like this one chapter for the book that I'm currently writing. And the more time I spend on it, I think it's actually getting worse because I'm putting too much thought into it. Whereas actually when I put that piece of writing aside and I went over and started to write something completely fresh, the ideas started flowing better. So there's so much here in like trying new things in order to get the creativity flowing. Because when you step outside of your known reality or your comfort zone and step into the unknown, that's where your creative genius can often strike. So the second point I loved was this idea of creating with no pressure. And Rick makes these amazing points where he says, you know, the last person that you ever want to consider when you're creating anything is the audience. Because the second that you try to create something for people specifically, you're watering down what you can create. Because what people want is the best thing they can get. And the best thing they can get is the best thing that you can create. And the best thing that you can create is the thing that you love creating. And I've had this, so just use this podcast as an example. I've made specific episodes with an audience in mind. And if you go back, you can probably tell which ones they are. And actually, they were probably the least creative I felt in making these episodes for this podcast, because I was trying to make it for a specific outcome. Whereas actually the episodes where I've had an amazing idea and I've just thought, do you know what? I'm really excited about this. I want to make an episode about this. And I just go and hit record, put the cameras on, put the lights up, hit record and record it. They turn out the best because I'm creating the thing that I love. And the best thing about that is, like, when you're creating, when you're coming from that place of creativity and you're so tuned into yourself and you create something for yourself, there's thousands of other people out there that resonate with that place that you're coming from. They can relate to it. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world, however many there is. Like, there's bound to be a few thousand that are into the same things as you. So when you create from a place of, like, I'm going to do this because I love it, it's always going to resonate with people, whether it's a small number of people or a large number of people, it doesn't matter. And there's something amazing that Rick says in the interview where he says, I'm confident with my artistic expression because my only goal is to make something I like, and I can keep working on it until I like it. So there's no pressure. So the only person that he's trying to please is himself. So when you're creating something, whatever it is, be it a business project, be it an art project, be it a relationship, be it, you know, a podcast, be it writing, be it whatever it is, whatever creative endeavor it is, if you're making something and you're working on it until you like it and you absolutely love it, that's the best place to come from, because you're the first person that you need to satisfy when it comes to creating or making anything. So if you come from that place, create with no pressure and just satisfy yourself, it will translate to other people. So the third point that I loved was this idea of, don't wait for permission, just go out and do it. Just go out and create, because it's so easy to put boundaries in place by waiting for other people's permission to go and do the thing that you want to do. This is especially true when you're in a rut, right? There's an amazing saying that I love. In the realms of uncertainty, action precedes clarity. And what it's saying is, if you're feeling a bit stuck, take action on whatever it is that you want to take action on, and you'll get clear on the direction that you're going in as you take more action on it. You know, Rick tells the story of, like, when he first started making music, like, he didn't really know what he was doing. He just, like, started recording and putting stuff together. And he was just creating from a place of, like, you know, I'm just making it because I love it. You know, I want to make it, so I'm going to make it. He wasn't thinking about, oh, I'm going to get signed to this record label or that record label or whatever. He was just making music. And that is what led him on to what he's created in his career, which is absolutely phenomenal by all accounts. And it comes back to this idea of, like, create something because you want to create it. Like, when I wrote my book in 2020, The Search for Clarity, I could have waited for a publisher to approach me. I could have gone out there and approached a bunch of publishers, right? And if I'd done that, I probably still would be waiting, to be honest, or maybe not, but it's very likely that I could still be waiting and the book would never existed. So instead, what I decided to do is, like, right, I'm just going to put this thing together. I'm just going to write it. I'm just going to come up with the outline. I'm going to write it. I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to design the cover. I'm going to edit it myself. I actually sent it to a couple of friends to proofread. I'm going to figure out how to publish it. And I just did the whole thing myself. And because I've done that, there's now like 500 copies that are out in the world, which I'm very proud of. Whereas if I'd waited, like I said, the chances are I could still be waiting. So if you've got something that you really want to make, and again, I don't care what it is, if it's music, if it's art, if it's a business, if it's a project, if it's painting, if it's writing, if it's recording, like, whatever it is, just start it. Don't wait for the permission. Just go out and create it. This podcast was the same. I could have waited for permission from people to record this podcast. I could have waited for a podcast like this to exist in the world so I could listen to it. I didn't wait. I wanted to create it. So I went out and created it. 7 years later, we're sat here today and I'm still recording because it's something that I enjoy to do. If you follow that path for yourself, you will keep creating the things that you enjoy, whether it's the thing you start with or the next thing that comes along. The fourth point that I loved was the idea of embracing mistakes. And this is easily one of my favorites. And Rick says, it's not about perfection because humanity breathes in the mistakes. And there's a famous quote from Winston Churchill where he says, Success is being willing to go from failure to failure to failure to failure, or to fail over and over and over again. And it's because in the mistakes we learn, in the mistakes we grow, in the mistakes we discover things. Like when I started this podcast, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I've got recordings where I haven't even hit record on the microphones. And I've sat there and chatted to someone for an hour. It's like a huge mistake, but it's a learning. I've had an episode. Actually, this is, to be honest, this is the second take of this episode that I'm recording, because the first time I did it, something went wrong with the microphones and it didn't use this microphone here to record. It used the laptop microphone. So it sounded a bit crap. So, okay, put it aside and carry on again. I embraced the mistake. I could have beaten myself up about it. I could have been like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Now it's not perfect. Now it's not this. But actually, when I embrace the mistakes, I learn, I grow. And it's always something that's going to be available for me in mistakes, in perceived failures, because that's all they are. They're perceived. And the thing that makes us interesting as human beings is that we are unique. It is our mistakes. It is our imperfections. Like if everything we did was kind of like robotic, like cookie cutter, clean, perfect, it'd be a little bit boring. There'd be no personality in it. There'd be no individualness in it. There'd be no uniqueness in it. And is actually the mistakes and our imperfections that make the things that we make interesting, because they're coming from the imperfect us, if that makes sense, rather than this perfect vision that we can just try and buy into. And if you try and make everything perfect, you're never going to be putting anything out. And one of my favorite examples of this is if you look at like elite performers, right? So let's look at some football players, for example. Let's look at someone like Ronaldo. If he misses a chance during a game, he doesn't spend the rest of the game beating himself up. He's like, okay, cool, I missed that one. I know I'll score the next one. And if he misses that one, he'll be like, okay, I know I'll score the next one. And the mistake, the errors don't get on top of him. And that's what separates him from the other players who are also very good, but they're just not in the elite category. Because the ones who aren't in that elite category, when they do miss an opportunity, you can see it weighs down on them. So when they get a second opportunity to score a goal, they're already second guessing themselves. They're already in a place where they're more likely to make another mistake. Because they're not willing to embrace, okay, I made a mistake, let's get on with the next one and let's go again. How could I do better for the next one? They're worried about making the same mistake again. And when you're coming from that place, you're always likely to come, well, you're coming from a place of fear. And when you're coming from a place of fear, the things that you do, the way that you show up isn't authentic. It isn't at your best level. Whereas when you show up from a place of like, okay, look, I made a mistake. What can I learn from it? Okay, how can I apply it to the next thing? You're always going to grow. You know, the edge of growth happens in the mistakes. The mistakes remind us of our humanity. So the fifth point I love is the idea of giving everything it takes and like putting your all into something that you're creating. And Rick Rubin says it as like, there's a shortcut in, you know, thinking how little can I get away with, versus the question that you really want to ask yourself is how much more can I give, and what else, and what else, and what else, and what else. Because that's what makes our projects, that's what brings our creativeness out into the things that we love to create and put out into the world. And there's a brilliant quote from Sadhguru where he says, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, to be willing to die into the process of anything creates space for magic to happen. And what I get from that is like the wording, to be willing to die into the process of anything, is he's saying if you're willing to give absolutely everything to the thing, but whether it's a relationship, whether it's your business, whether it's a creative project, whatever it is, if you're willing to give everything you've got to it, that's when the magic happens, because you can keep giving more. And it sounds like it could be an exhausting thing, and it doesn't have to be. You know, the beauty is that we are unlimited, untapped potential and creativity. That just is within us. And we can always give more. And when we do give the most to projects, that's when they work out. That's when things happen. Like you look at any music artist or any business owner or any athlete, right? The ones who are at the very, very top are the ones who give the most to what they're doing, to what they're creating, to the way that they're showing up. And I'll give you an example of what it means to give everything you can and be utterly dedicated, utterly committed to something. So one of my favorite examples is mothers. I think mothers have a superpower that us men just are never going to have, which is the superpower of motherly devotion. They will give everything to their children. You can guarantee, if you speak to any mother and you ask them, will you ever let your kid go without food? Will you ever let your kid go without a roof over their head? The answer is going to be no. And they will do everything they can to ensure that that happens. And it doesn't come from a place of effort. It comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of freedom. You know, that utter devotion to the child, to raising a child, even when they're adult children like me, right? The utter devotion is what means that the mothers are giving everything they can. And that just comes from love. It doesn't come from a place of fear. It doesn't come from a place of worry. It doesn't come from a place of doubt. It's just an expression of love. And if you're willing to tap into that and put it into whatever it is that you want to create or however you want to show up in the world, that's an absolute superpower. And the sixth and final point that I loved in this breakdown of these Rick Rubin episodes is the idea that success doesn't fill the hole. And we hear this all the time. Success doesn't make you happy. Achieving things doesn't make you happy. And there's so much truth in it. You just have to look across, you know, multiple stories of people who are, you know, live in the media, shall we say. It looks like they've got their lives figured out. They've got all the money in the world, the freedom, the time. They can go on these nice holidays. How many of them are miserable? How many of them, unfortunately, end up, you know, taking their own lives because they're not truly happy? And it's showing us that success in and of itself doesn't fill the hole that we think it's going to fill. It's one of the biggest challenges for most people to overcome, because most people, myself included, have this when-then syndrome. And the when-then syndrome is, okay, when I have these things, then I'll be happy. Or when I have this, then I'll be free. And it's not about that, because if you're coming from that place, you're always creating boundaries around and conditions around your own happiness, your own sanity, your own mental well-being. And I experienced something similar to this recently where, you know, when I started my coaching business in 2018, I always told myself I wanted to get to a certain amount that I could earn each year to be comfortable. And I was like, when I get there, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be free. Then I'll be able to enjoy myself. Then I'll be able to, you know, do all of this stuff. And last year, or the last couple of years, I've hit that target each year for the last couple of years. And I remember there was one day last year where I was so worried about loads of stuff about, you know, happiness and freedom and time and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And my head was in a spin. So I took myself out for a walk. And while I was walking around the park, I just had this realization of like, this is like the life that I'm living right now, like being in this flat, earning the money that I'm earning, you know, having an amazing relationship, having amazing clients that I work with, being able to go on nice holidays, being able to travel and work, being able to work from anywhere. It's the exact life that I wanted to create for myself 5 years ago when I started coaching. And I've created it, yet I was still having some of the same worries that I was having back then, because I was creating this when then around earning a certain amount of money. And when I saw that, I just started laughing, because I was like, well, I don't need to worry about this stuff because I'm living how I want to live. Yes, I can. There's always more that can be available in terms of growth, in terms of business, etc. But I've created exactly what I wanted to create. And if I'm not happy with that now, I'm not going to be happy with it whether I get to six figures, seven figures, whatever it is. And it's really important for you to see that as well, that if you're coming from a place of when and then you might want to have a look at, okay, how can I take the then, like, then I'll be happy, then I'll be free, then I'll be whatever, and live from that place now, because that's where the true freedom is. And the key thing is, when you're coming from that place, that's what allows you to go on and to create more and to have more and to be more. So this was my six key learnings from hearing Rick Rubin talk about your innate creativity. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot from it. If you did, be sure to hit that like button, hit subscribe so you can stay up to date with all the latest episodes. And be sure to come and follow me over on Instagram and TikTok @IamAlexManzi. And I'll see you for the next episode.